This is CRNH on KXL this hour, presented by New England College as well as Fox Ace Hardware. And this segment of the program brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that is uniquely New Hampshire. More information, check out rathlaw.com. Rath Young and Pignatelli, proud sponsors of Political Reviews here on CRNH. If you missed it, this is my conversation from my guest hosting spot on New Hampshire Today yesterday with U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan. Morning. This is News Radio 96.7 and News Radio 610, along with WKXL 103.9 1450. New Hampshire Today, Chris Ryan, Justin McIsaac. We're going to be joined on the program right now by U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan. Senator Hassan, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Chris? Good morning.
I'm well. Appreciate you joining us for the show. Good morning to you as well. What's the latest in your view on the negotiation process for a COVID-19 relief package, one that is being said to be needed by many businesses across the state of New Hampshire? And reportedly there's holdups in regards to Republicans wanting more protections for litigation and Democrats wanting more for cities, towns, and state governments.
Well, you know, I've been hearing from people and businesses all across New Hampshire, and my colleagues have been hearing from their constituents, too. We know that families need to pay their rent and put food on the table. Many families who are relying on unemployment benefits right now will have those benefits expire literally the day after Christmas. We know our schools need more resources so that they can support remote learning and or hopefully reopen in person safely. We certainly know we need more investment in public health resources, especially as we're getting prepared to distribute and administer a vaccine. And state and local governments need additional support so that they can avoid any further layoffs of those frontline personnel, and so that they can continue a large portion of our workforce on the front lines can continue to be employed and not add to those unemployment numbers and undermine our economy. So we are hearing about these needs. We need to do what we did last spring, which is come together across party lines and really hammer out a package. And there's a bipartisan group of us who have agreed to a general framework that would get us through the next, 3 months. This would be a targeted relief package to really address the immediate need, including from small businesses who need additional PPP support, for instance. And then we know that that will give the Biden administration time to get into office and do its own planning and implementation to further support the economy and families and businesses. But that's really what these talks are aimed at. We've had very good discussions. We've agreed on a framework. There are always details to iron out, and that's the process we're in right now.
What is your expectation in regards to passage and this becoming law?
Well, we are in a time period in the Senate where we have a number of major pieces of business that we need to attend to before the end of the year. One of them is agreeing on an overall spending plan for this fiscal year ending next September 30th. And so I am optimistic that as we finish that work and we are getting close to an agreement on what that overall spending plan looks like, and as we take the steps we need to pass the National Defense Authorization, that we will also be able to get this work done, too. Often we are at our most effective when we have a large package and we're getting a number of things done all at once. So I'm optimistic, but there are some real differences that we are still trying to address, and that's why these talks continue.
There is, in my view, significant public confusion about where we are at as a state in regards to COVID-19, where we hear on a continual basis about the numbers rising. In fact, there were more cases announced yesterday than we saw for the entire month of August. But the protocols and procedures that are really not in place at this point in time are so remarkably different than what we saw from that March to June time period, where pretty much people did not even know anybody that had COVID-19, but things were closed. We were staying at home. Do you feel that Chris Sununu has mishandled this aspect of COVID-19 in New Hampshire?
Look, what I think we really need to focus on here is everybody understanding how significant the community spread is of COVID-19 in New Hampshire, throughout New England, throughout the country right now. People need to be wearing their masks. They need to be socially distancing. We are all very excited about the prospect of a safe and effective vaccine coming online and getting distributed and getting administered. But that process is going to take us months, and it's critically important that we continue to focus on the steps we can take today that will help slow the spread, keep ourselves safe while we're getting up and running on the vaccine end of things. And, you know, one of the things that Senator Shaheen and I are fighting for in this relief package, for instance, is that it is additional public health dollars, particularly support not only for our hospitals, but also for our nursing homes. We need to do more testing and have more support for nursing home residents and staff.
But do you think that Chris Sununu has done enough in how he has handled this?
I think we all have to come together and do everything we possibly can to acknowledge that we are seeing a really significant surge in this disease and do everything we can to slow it. And I'm committed to working with Governor Sununu and the federal delegation to do that.
Senator, was there any talk of direct payments to regular folks as part of the stimulus? Well, you know, certainly there's Andrew Yang's been continuing to beat that drum as far as a second stimulus goes, but I've heard other people mention that as well. Or was that something you didn't feel could get through a bipartisan committee? And I guess secondly, will there be more oversight in this next upcoming package? We certainly saw a lot of businesses that maybe didn't need a PPP loan take one, including I think Tom Brady took one out. We all love Tom Brady, but the dude's worth $250 million. I didn't think
got almost $1 million.
Yeah, from a PPP loan. So yeah. Will there be more oversight in this round of stimulus than last time?
Well, first of all, one of the things that we are trying to do in this round of negotiations is address some of the problems we saw back with the CARES Act, which we got out the door very quickly to meet this urgent need. But you do learn things when you put together a program like that. And we certainly are trying to address some of those concerns in this package. As far as the individual payments, we have heard from economists from all variety of perspectives about how important those individual payments were to really shoring up the economy at the height of the lockdowns or shutdowns across the country. What was very important to some of my Republican colleagues as we've been negotiating this framework is that this be a targeted relief measure rather than something that one might consider a stimulus plan. And so one of the compromises we made was to focus on making sure there were unemployment benefits there, the PPP benefits for small businesses, making sure, again, that schools, hospitals, and state and local governments were also getting the support they needed. And I think what you'll see is the Biden administration coming into office and making a determination about next steps. You know, they have their own plans that they're developing right now, but making their own determinations about what the appropriate next steps are and then how to work with Congress to get those over the finish line.
That's U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan joining us here on New Hampshire Today on News Radio 96.7 as well as News Radio 610. Want to ask you a little bit about the role that you have played in the vaccination process and trying to make sure that the vaccine, you know, is safe and is one that is effective. And you had mentioned the need for, you know, an FDA advisory committee to take a look at this vaccination process. Why do you think that is significant? And can you, at this point in time, ensure, you know, Granite Staters that the vaccine, once it comes through this process, will be safe and effective?
Well, thanks for the question, because I think we are all so eager to see the end of this pandemic. We know we need to contain the virus. We know we need to do everything we can to get on the other side and begin to reopen things and get back to much more normal, right? And so it's critically important that we have a vaccine. It also needs to be safe. It needs to be effective. People have to have confidence in its safety and efficacy, and we have to administer it fairly. fairly. And so that's a tall order, but it has really been impressive to see the work that scientists have done to make sure that we have gotten to this point right now. And where we are right now, and what's important for people to understand, is that we are on the verge of a likely emergency authorization of the Pfizer vaccine and then the Moderna vaccine, both of which use similar technology. A couple of things I want people to know. One is that the science that is the platform for these vaccines has been years in the making. So the science itself, the basic science that had to be done, had already been done. What happened after the pandemic hit and Operation Warp Speed began was leveraging this science into the production and then clinical trials of these vaccines to test these ideas, which have been, as most people have read, quite successful. But what has been very important to me is that even though we are doing this fast, is that we follow our usual scientific review process that the government does before a vaccine is authorized. So last summer, when the president was doing his best to pressure scientists to approve things fast, I teamed up with Republican Senator Murkowski and Senator Braun to say, wait a minute, even if we're using an emergency speedy process here, we want the same scientific review that vaccines always get. And while the bill we put in hasn't passed, we did get the head of the FDA and the head of the CDC to commit in public to us that they would use these regular external independent scientific reviewers the way they always do, and that those reviewers would have public meetings and release public findings. And that is what's going to happen on Thursday when the FDA independent review committees meet. They have been poring over the Pfizer data, and if they authorize this, Americans can be comfortable that the usual process has been followed, and you're going to see the very quick distribution of the vaccine, and I think you're going to see an awful lot of frontline workers and others who will be in the first priority getting the vaccine. And I think, as people have heard, a number of public figures have said that they're willing to get the vaccine right up front too, to help build confidence in it.
Final thing, we have about 2 minutes left here. I wanted to get your take on President-elect Biden's choice for his health care team that he pushed out yesterday. California Attorney General Xavier Becerra as his Health and Human Services Secretary. What do you think is going to be the difference in approach for Biden's team versus Trump's team? There's been concern among some individuals that Biden's going to push for a universal stay-at-home order. What do you think is going to be the main difference or two between Trump's approach and Biden's approach?
Well, you know, some of us have been fortunate enough already to be briefed by some of the people on President-elect Biden's transition team and some of the people who now he's announced will be incoming members of his administration. I think what you're going to see is a real dedication to science and public health advice that follows the data and the science. President-elect Biden has said that he doesn't support a nationwide mandate. What he does support is for regions and areas of our country to follow the data that they're seeing, which includes not only the rate of spread of the disease, it also means looking at what hospital capacity is and taking actions appropriately. One of the things I want people to really understand is that we will need to be doing testing for this virus for months to come, if not longer. And if we can do more testing, if we can tailor our response to what the data is telling us, both about the spread of the disease and the capacity of our hospitals, we can make community and regional decisions about what kind of activities we need to restrict. I'll also say that if we get sufficient aid, for instance, to businesses that may not be able to be up to full capacity right away because of the spread of the virus, they should be able to weather the storm while we also address the public health challenges here. The two are not mutually exclusive, but the policy that we use to support businesses as well as support public health is going to be critical. I think our priority should be on getting kids back to school in person, but also supporting businesses if they need to moderate their capacity while we're doing that, so that they're not faced with the loss of their livelihoods or a business they've spent their life building up because of the public health crisis. And that's the kind of approach I'm hearing from the Biden administration. Last thing I want to say to people,
we do have to run, Senator.
Yeah, it's just how serious this COVID disease can be and the long-term effects. So people really need to be careful, wear your mask, keep your social distance, and wash your hands.
Appreciate your time. U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan joining us here on New Hampshire Today.
That is Senator Hassan. This is CRNH on KXL. This hour is presented by New England College as well as Fox Ace Hardware. And that segment of the program brought to you by Rath, Young & Pignatelli and RathLaw.com.